The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy.
Hey-o.
What's happening?
Not much, man.
You good?
We are having such an interesting conversation pre-show. We should just really just roll the open over our conversations.
VSiN plus
yeah,
subscription.
That's right.
it was a offshoot of our Lenny Kravitz conversation.
It was, yeah.
Which became an Enrique Iglesias conversation.
Which I was telling you, I've had the Lenny Kravitz conversation with like three other people at this point. The conversation lasts at least 15 to 20 minutes.
For those who missed it, what his place is in music.
Just why is he famous?
Fit him in.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Anyway, on the show today, JVT joins us. How about that? We were able to book JVT MLB college football with him later on the show. Actually, coming up pretty soon, actually. Pete Futak on the Big 12 as college football, but 11 days away. Jason Weingarten on baseball. Paul Spohr will join us as well. Throwing some DFS with him. And then Paul Carr with his Premier League pre-floppers. All his season longs in the Premier League. It's interesting. It goes from golden boot to relegation and beyond. We'll do that with Paul Carr a little later on the show.
I'm excited. Nothing like a 14.
I am actually pumped.
Nothing like a 14-month sweat, Gil. You know? Just one season.
That's right. Premier League, we barely ever end.
You could have that ticket forever.
Okay. Let's get the tennis picks out of the way. Then we'll get to what was a spectacular night, I thought, in baseball yesterday. Nothing yesterday because there's only a couple real matches beyond the qualies in Cincinnati. This is the last big tournament before the U.S. Open. Sorry, Cleveland, I know you got a 250. My apologies. This is 1,000, both on the men's and ladies' side, the Western and Southern Open. I have two on the ladies' side, three on the men's side. These, again, every host, every guest, every sport, every pick at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. My tennis is there every day. Zach Cohen's got tennis every day. On the ladies' side, I have one play that I don't think you can play at the current price. Last night, again, this is why it pays to be a subscriber. Ashlyn Kruger last night, plus 189 over Donna Vekic, coming off her silver medal performance at the Olympics and her runner-up performance, remember, at Wimbledon. Kruger now plus 140-something, I'm seeing. I would not play it that low. That one is probably out of whack to me. If you could find anything like plus 155 or up, I'd play it. But right now, that one's probably unplayable. That's why you got to be a subscriber. Victoria Tomova, though, you can play that. Plus 187 is what I have her at over Carolina Pliskova. She's right around there right now. And then on the men's side, a trio of plays. Alejandro Davidovich Fokina, your boy, Kelly. Plus 113 over Francis Tiafoe. It's only a couple cents worse than that right now. Jordan Thompson, plus 165 over Hugo Humbert. The Aussie, Jordan Thompson, that's in pocket. And Alex Mickelson's a little higher now. He's kind of on the edge. I'm seeing him at like minus 130. I don't know that I'd play Mickelson, quite frankly, but if you did, I wouldn't hate you. But don't play it any higher than that. He's taking on Talon Griegspoor. But I got him at minus 119 last night. So it's Kruger and Tomova on the women's side, though Kruger not in pocket anymore in terms of the parameters of where you should play it. Davidovich, Fokina, Thompson, and Mickelson on the men's side. Mickelson teetering on not being playable.
Alejandro's, he's grown up to, how do you say the second last name? First last name?
I used to say
Davidovich.
Davidovich,
right?
Yeah, but everybody pronounces it Davidovich.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so we're evolving. It's okay.
And Francis Tiafoe, of course, is Tiafoe, but some people say Tiafoe. You know,
oh, really?
It's a whole thing. Kelly Bidlin pronouncing women's tennis names throughout the U.S. Open. We're planning that.
Yeah, we'll be doing that. I'm a little angry right now because Davidovich, I feel like I've comfortably gotten down for the past couple years, and now this is like just a curveball for me.
Putting you through changes, Kelly
Bidlin. Davidovich.
I know. That's what they're telling me it is. Davidovich. Okay. Samsonova is Samsonova, you should know, as well.
Get ready
for that
one
as well. Oh, it's a whole thing. All right, baseball last night was awesome for a couple of reasons. One, strictly just baseball. The other, betting. I mean, both have betting implications. But first of all, what a game at Oracle Park in San Francisco last night. The Braves beat the Giants 1-0 in 10 as the Giants post-game announcers, Greg Papa and former Giants Sergio Romo and George Contos, were moaning about afterwards. I think a little too much, by the way. But what their point was correct, which is what a offensive way given a ghost runner to end a spectacular classic pitching duel in Major League Baseball. With the ghost runner, all you needed was a bloop and a sack fly. Giants couldn't do that, so the Braves win it 1-0. But it was the pitching duel between Chris Sale, who I will not call the presumptive NL Cy Young Award winner, but man, did he solidify it. Last night, he solidified his short shot status. Let's put it that way. Chris Sale yesterday, 7 innings of scoreless ball, gave up 3 hits, 12 Ks against, no walks. Is that good? And then there's Blake Snell. There was a gentleman on Twitter last night who was like, I don't know if Blake Snell throws a no-hitter. Do you think, and then the Giants get in the playoffs, do you think he could be a Cy Young? I'm like, he's 2-3. No.
God, then I saw Mitch Moss reply, and I was like, going to bed. I was like, how am I going to bed before Mitch Moss?
How are you guys entertaining? By the way, Mitch and Paulie deserve all the credit for getting up at that
they
hour.
Really do. They really do.
But Blake Snell took a no-hitter into the 7th last night. Remember, 2 starts ago, he threw a no-no. So he was trying to do a Johnny Vandermeer with 1 game in between. Not to be. He went 6 1/3, gave up no runs, 2 hits, 11 Ks against, 3 walks. So it was just awesome. But the Braves won it 1-0. So that was great. And again, Sale solidifying his front-runner status in the NL Cy Young race. The other thing was the Yankees were a -360 favorite against the White Sox. And they left 9 runners on base in the first 4 innings. And
hey, that's the White Sox time to dominate.
And the White Sox, who had won 1 in their last 24 before last night, were like, we're taking you down. And boy, did they. 12-2. And we've gotten, I just want from a historical standpoint, I just want to get to the point because people are like, wow, -360 favorite loses. When I was growing up in the old baseball world, Kelly, or at least when we've been tracking, you know, big favorites, I remember like in the early 2000s, there was a Randy Johnson pitched game for the Yankees where they were north of a $4 favorite taking on, you ready for this? The Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Mm-hmm. And the Devil Rays took them down. And that was a big deal because it was north of a $4 favorite. But here's the story. Until the year 2016, from that Randy Johnson performance until the year 2016, there was only like 2 $4 favorites in all of baseball in any game. 1-1, the Yankees won in a game in 2005. The Twins lost in a game against the Nationals in 2007 as a -435. It was only starting later here in the last part of the last decade where the $4 favorite started to become a little more common, and I do mean a little more, peaking in 2019, the year that the Nationals beat the Astros eventually in the World Series. The Astros were so good that in, at least, you know, not good in real life and then good per the market, in August and September of 2019, heading into that postseason, the Astros played 9 games in which they were lined as north of a $4 favorite, 3 of which they were north of a $5 favorite. You may ask, what did they do in those 9 games? And this is the betting cautionary note, as inspired by last night's Yankees loss at -360. They went 7-2. So what does that mean? 7 units to the positive, and then 9.5 to the negative with the 2 losses. So you can't, like, for those who think that this is easy peasy, it's baseball, for God's sakes. Yeah. Anything can happen.
Not just throw it in a parlay and check tomorrow for the winnings.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, for those who do tennis parlays on a daily basis, and Lord knows I've done them, but, like, when you get to -500-ish and beyond, you do have to also ask yourself, is it even worth the risk of putting this in my parlay?
Absolutely.
Does it boost my parlay enough to even entertain that possibility of it killing my parlay? Anyway, so the Astros in 2019 were the peak of this. This year alone, Action Network posted this last night. The Dodgers, I don't remember this. In mid-April, they were -432 favorites against the Natties, and they lost. And then last night, the Yankees at -360, losing to the White Sox.
So. I also don't like, it doesn't feel like, the 2019 notes don't surprise me at all, except for I don't remember the up to -500. I don't remember $5
the highest,
favorites.
The highest one was -521.
Oh my gosh.
They beat the Angels.
They
lost as a -518 favorite to the Tigers that year in August.
I mean, I do remember, like, when we were doing primetime action, I mean, that was my one live betting strategy always was the Dodgers go down a run. I was like, yeah, I'm just betting the Dodgers because it felt like they were $3 favorites every single night. I don't feel like we've seen as much of that this year, but I could be wrong. Feels like really, a couple years ago is when we kind of hit the height of that.
2019 was definitely the peak. There's only a couple. We're talking about north of $4 now. Only a couple in 2017, only a couple in 2018. In addition to the 9 Astros games in 2019, there was a couple others. So there was 11. Mm. 2019 was by far the peak. There was nothing in the pandemic year of 2020. 2 instances in 2021, 4 in 2022. I'm not sure how many last year, but only 2 this year. I did make a baseball bet, though, yesterday, a remainder of the season long, if you will. Still a quarter of the season left.
That's insane.
Mark Borchardt and I are doing our Q3 on Monday. So everybody's rounding the quarter pole, if you will, here in the next few days. I bet the Diamondbacks to be the number one seed in the National League at 12-1. 12-1. The Diamondbacks, who, by the way, have the best record, not only won July for the best record, outright at Circa, dead heating at William Hill Caesars, but they're the leader in the clubhouse in August, 9-2. Now, they do have injuries, right? Even though Eduardo Rodriguez, is having his second start back tonight. Ketel Marte, going to miss the rest of the series. He re-aggravated the ankle injury, so he's getting an MRI today. Hopefully, he's okay. They're getting Gurriel back, but Christian Walker, Gabriel Moreno, they're not expected back for several weeks. So there are injuries, but 12-1, only 3.5 behind the Dodgers for the number one record in the NL with a quarter of the season plus to play. I took a stab at that. We'll come back. JBT joins us. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We can't get this Enrique Iglesias song out of our heads. If you need a contest proxy, talk to the experienced team at Winner's Circle Proxy, VSiN's preferred proxy partner. You can join the Circa Survivor and Circa Million contest featuring $16 million guaranteed cash prizes with only one trip to Las Vegas before the NFL season kicks off. Winner's Circle Proxy, now in its 9th year, providing trusted proxy services to top contest players, including the 2023 Survivor and Million contest winner. So maybe they're good luck as well. Plus, don't miss out on Circa's Ultimate Contest Weekend from August 22nd to the 24th. Packed with exclusive events, room discounts, live broadcasts, and more. Winner's Circle Proxy clients will get special perks like monthly access to VSiN Pro, stadium swim passes, free drink tickets, and cool sign-up bag stuffers. So head over to winnerscircleproxy.com now and book your appointment. Again, that's winnerscircleproxy.com, VSiN's preferred proxy partner. How you doing? You okay, man? You good?
Oh yeah, I'm good. I'm laughing at the. I'm gonna steal. We get tweets from you and get Kelly gets press releases.
And it's Kelly gets press releases.
It's comical. The two I've gotten this morning: Swingers Las Vegas to open crazy golf hospitality experience at Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino coming November 8th, and then Daytona Lagoon hosts 2-night rooftop concert featuring Jordan Rainer. I don't know who Jordan Rainer is, and I'm assuming we're talking Daytona, Florida.
Get back to that swingers thing. What was that now?
Yeah, it looks like some little like putt-putt things coming to Mandalay. Yeah.
The way you read it made it seem like it was for swingers.
Oh, yeah, and I thought, when I first read it, I read crazy horse, not crazy golf experience, so that was a little different, too.
We get tweets at Beating the Book, best listeners in the game, primetime, accusing producer number 5 and 8, Jeff Parles, the Grover Cleveland of producers, of voicing a ad. Jeff Parles chimes in, not me. Jeff wanted no part of identification with it. Forrest Lehman. Oh, Forrest, this is good. If Ohtani is a landslide this year, shouldn't he open minus 1,000 next year pitching?
Yeah.
It's a great point.
Sure.
It's a great point. Frank Doyle. Ozuna triple crown number at BetMGM Colorado. Oh, this is good. Thank you for this, Frank. Shohei is 8-1 to win the triple crown. Ozuna 13-1. They do have no prices as well. The no on Shohei is minus 1,400. The no on Azuma, minus 3,000. This is from, D-Gen Southern Gen, who says, yeah, with Azuna, it's not only the domestic violence, it's also the DUI incident. You're right. And in case you missed it about Snell and rehab starts this season, Snell threw 5 no-hit innings with 10 Ks for AAA Sacramento on May 17th and 4 perfect innings with 7 Ks for single-A San Jose on May 12th. And that's what Bob Melvin was saying. Bob Melvin, who witnessed front row again from the dugout step, his Cy Young season, he's like, this is better. He's every time he goes out there, you think he's going to throw a no-hitter.
It's always like the when you got to go back, you know, back to the minors or on a rehab start or something like that, it usually tend to feel bad for those guys. But I always think about stuff like that where you're like, it's got to be such a relief sometimes to be like, let me just throw some fastballs by these AAA guys, these bums down here in the minors. I'll get you back in form.
This is from my NC95 gambler. If you have Jason on your show later, is Jason on today?
He is on today.
He is on today. Oh, NCI95 gambler. Might call you that. I don't even have to. This is a request that already was going to make itself. You said if you have Jason on your show later, can you please ask him about NL Rookie of the Year and specific about Jackson Merrill's chances of winning? Thanks. Not only was I going to ask him that, Jason has been text bombing me about this for the last few days because he came on the show and talked about Jackson Merrill. While we have been pondering, not just us, but everybody has had their eyes on, hey, can Paul Skeens win NL Cy Young? Which I have repeatedly said, again, according to the Tom Tango numbers, he's got no shot whatsoever. He would have had to have been pristine the rest of the way to even have a chance in that conversation. He has not been. And so Skeens is not going to win the NL Cy Young, and then Chris Sale might have just, you know, shouted that out for real after his performance last night just to buttress that. We thought it was a done deal that he was going to win NL Rookie of the Year, and maybe he will. But he has gone from a minus 2,000 favorite, something like that,
oh my gosh,
to a minus 450, and even in some spots, a minus 400 favorite, which, again, still a big favorite, but not what he was. And Jackson Merrill is down to plus 250. Now, the reason that Jason has been going crazy, not only because he recommended it, he has bets, Jackson Merrill had, like, what was it, three nights in a row where he tied up games for the Padres in the eighth or ninth innings with homers. So, I mean, he has just been doing it in dramatic fashion. And so Jason has been texting me over and over about how he doesn't feel like Skeens should win even the Rookie of the Year. Obviously, he's talking through his bet, but it's a big deal. We'll ask Jason about
it later. I thought I saw Skeens at minus 900 this morning.
Anymore.
Down to minus 450. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure that's what I saw. Maybe it was last night.
Steven at Brosec 1870. Two Mondays in a row, two different mics swing on my Illini with an under bet. What bet starts to my week? It was Montesano this week. Who was it last week? Can't remember.
That's good.
Mike Stacks. I heard you say yesterday McDonald's is leaving Circa. With all the pull you have, can you please tell Derek to also close the coffee shop upstairs and bring your sushi place in? Okay, I'll be sure to get all that with Derek. Derek, 10 hours in his office, plotting the demise of the McDonald's.
Oh, Mikey Stacks from Delray Beach, Florida, man. I was down there last week.
Delray.
It's changed. It's changing on me, Gil. It's changing.
To the good?
It's getting too fancy. It's getting too Boca Raton.
Delray is very fancy.
It's getting too Boca Ratonized, okay? Like, it's all my old, like, crappy dive bars are gone and stuff like that. And I don't like it. I don't like the changes.
How dare you talk about Del Boca Vista. This is from Jason Stark. Not that Jason Stark, but another one. Is JBT so desperate to win the weight loss contest that he had to shave his head too?
Hey, anything helps, right?
Hey, man. That's absolutely right.
What is that? That final weigh-in's got to be coming up here, right? Wasn't it right before NFL season?
You know, they bring up the sushi spot. I was waiting for your return.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're doing now. You keep pushing it back. I thought
it was supposed to be last week, but I thought it would have been disrespectful. You were the one who kind of made this a thing.
Oh, man. Well, we got to set the date then.
We got to set it this month. It has to be like at the end of next week,
He keeps pushing it back.
I don't know. It's August. I said the end of next. Let's just make it a date. It's August 13th today. Yeah. Let's say Friday of next week.
It's a good idea.
What is that?
It's a good idea. You're going to con people into listening on a Friday. It's a good job. I like it.
That's what I do. 23rd of August. Bam. Sushi announcement.
23rd of August. All right. It's coming, folks.
You have five tennis bets. I gave you a baseball bet on the Diamondbacks number one seed. I don't know if I'll have a bet in this category, quite frankly. But this is week one starting quarterback odds. These are available where? DraftKings has these?
Oh, we're all over the place today, Gil. Because I'm using multiple books here. This is FanDuel and DraftKings because some have only a couple listed, some have the others listed.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I think these are all kind of accurate. The Broncos, after Bo Nix's great performance the other night, Bo Nix minus 245. Jarrett Stidham is plus 186. Zach Wilson is 70-1. Zach Wilson would have to have two injuries happen in front of him for that 70-1
to cash. That sure feels like it.
Oh, yeah. He is way down on the depth chart.
My only question with this one is, do you feel like we've Like, I think it's probably accurate, but, man, that's a big swing towards Knicks after 1 week.
Yeah, it could be closer than that, but he's the favorite, I think. We'll skip the Raiders for our purposes right now. Russell Wilson's minus 520. Justin Fields did not look good.
I mean, that's like, you could have made an argument before that game that, like, hey, at plus money with Russell Wilson not even been able to, you know, really practice going through an injury, just the possibility that he, like, This is one where, you know, we've gotten used to talking about these markets, Gil, right? But worth the reminder, that read the fine print, right? This is just week one starter. Doesn't matter who's starting week two.
Week one first snap First snap.
I mean, like, if Russell Wilson, for whatever reason, can't play week one, maybe they still want to play him week two or get him back ASAP.
Right, but if they're both healthy and this is done right this moment.
Yeah.
Justin Fields is plus 350, Russell Wilson minus 520. For those who missed it, Steelers lost to the Texans week one of preseason 20-12. Fields was 5 of 6 for 67 yards, but he was sacked twice, and he had two fumbles on snaps from the center. So, there you go.
It's not great.
Vintage Justin Fields.
Vintage.
Patriots, Jacoby Brissett's $9 favorite. Drake May barely got any action, plus 550. And then even though Sam Howell played pretty well for the Seahawks in week one of the preseason, Geno Smith still an $8 favorite for the Seahawks to take the first snap week one.
Man, if I knew someone told me Geno Smith was not going to be injured between now and when the first game occurs.
Someone told you that?
I feel like I'd be running to lay even minus 800.
We'll see if we can get anybody to tell you that.
Yeah, that'd be nice. So let me.
Anybody
and while you're at that, let me know about every other significant injury in the NFL this year. That'd be helpful.
And then the one I skipped for a purpose is a literal coin flip here. Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. What book is this? They have them both
this
at minus.
This is FanDuel. DraftKings does have this up as well. O'Connell, slightly bigger favorite there. I think minus 130 there.
All right, so FanDuel has it minus 113 and minus 113. And Antonio Pierce, won't you be my neighbor? He has said they will announce it after week two, after this game.
Does it come down to
this game's performance? Is that what this is about?
Man, I would think if he said that, then they already know, but I don't know. I would have said Gardner Minshew before last week.
Here's what I'm going to do, because I don't have the courage to ask Antonio myself. I'm going to ask Delicious to ask Antonio, and then maybe Delicious will tell
move.
Me. Yeah, that's how we're going to do it. Right now, I have no insight.
Or the valet guy, just, you know, yeah.
Ballet guy just asking about all kinds of other stuff. We'll come back. Pete Futak on the Big 12 next. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. We appreciate it. However you're taking us in, doesn't matter which way. We love you for it. Great. We were super grateful. By the way, Matt Buchalter was on last week, Kelly, from Toronto. And he said
I missed that.
He gets jacked up to be on the show. You know why? Because Game Plus is on where he is in Toronto. He sees us every day, and he's like, how often do I get to be on TV?
He's
pumped about it.
Shout out to the Game Plus viewers. We get a few that stop by every once in a while.
And love you, Game Plus. Yeah. And Game Plus goes down into New York as well, so a lot of people in New York see us on Game Plus also, so.
I think I've heard that, and then I think I've heard down into, like,
Vancouver,
Seattle.
Yeah, British
like
Columbia. Yeah. Man, Game Plus, we're all about you. We're all about the other spots, too. Coming up this hour, Paul Spohr on baseball, Paul Carr on the Premier League. Can't wait for that. And Jason Weingarten, the aforementioned Jason Weingarten, from under a cloud of smoke. He's going to be Jackson Merrilling it for about 10 minutes. He's going to be like, see, Jason Weingarten on why Paul Skeens does not deserve to win the Rookie of the Year. Could be a thing. Pete Futak joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, to talk some college football with us from the heartland. Peter, at Pete Futak, F-I-U-T-A-K, on Twitter. And, of course, he is the emperor, the czar of collegefootballnews.com. What's happening, Pedro?
Speaking of being jacked of, you know, where this show goes and everything, how about the local aspect of this? Because every once in a while, I get someone like, I was sitting in Vegas, I was having a mimosa, and all of a sudden I look up and there's Futak's dumb face on this big screen on VSiN out there. And I'm like, it ruined my day. So I like that aspect to it, too. It's a little underrated aspect of your show.
Well, you know what you should do to counterbalance that? You should have a Flavortown poster on the wall behind you. I think that would be...
I know,
oh,
I
wait, look at that.
Totally make that. Oh, how did that...
Yeah.
See that coming.
Hey, before you give your Big 12 thoughts and any bets, AP preseason top 25 out yesterday. Did anything bother you?
No, nothing bothered me. It's like there's no group of five. I know I'm the anti-elitist here when you always say, but there are no group of five programs up there in either the AP or the coaches poll. That's going to change. Like a Boise State and a Memphis is going to get there. The same exact teams were in both major polls, just a little bit of a twist everywhere around. A little bit of a Michigan downplay, a little punishment there because people are angry in the AP polls about Michigan. There should be a little bit higher, but nothing to get into a twist over. It's a pretty basic. The only thing is like Notre Dame at 7, they could probably lose to Texas A&M in week 1, and that'll change quickly. But again, college football playoff rankings are the ones of record. This is just sort of a snapshot. To me, this is kind of the official start of college football season when the AP comes out with this thing.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I was looking at Big Ten and SEC. Oh, I guess no. I was going to say all the way up until the 10th spot is all Big Ten and SEC, yeah. But I guess Notre Dame is in there as well.
Well, Notre Dame caucuses with the ACC.
That's
so
right.
Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's the exception. Okay. Big 12, Utah, the short shot. Do you see it that way? Justified.
Yeah, definitely. They get everyone back. Cam Rising's back at quarterback. Last year's team was a little bit off, they were injured. Wasn't quite the same. They couldn't get the quarterback situation right. Couldn't get their running game quite right. This year, they're back and loaded. The running game is going to be awesome. The lines are fantastic. The schedule works out really nicely. The crazy part about Utah and the Big 12 champion this year is I think they're probably going to be the 3 seed. It doesn't mean they're going to be ranked in the top 3 in the final college football playoff rankings, but it's the top 4 ranked conference champs. So the Big 12 conference champs probably going to be ranked 7th or 8th-ish, but I think there'll be a problem with Notre Dame beating Florida State, and Notre Dame's can't get into the top 4, so we'll get into that another time. But so you might have the 3 seed coming from this bunch, and Utah's definitely the best team of the bunch.
Yeah, and Utah, you point out at collegefootballnews.com, if I recall correctly, they would have been in an expanded 12-team playoff 3 of the last 5 years, and one of those years they wouldn't have been was the pandemic year anyway.
Yeah.
So this is kind of where they should be housed anyway. And their schedule, man, oh, man. So Arizona State, Colorado, Houston, UCF are on the road.
A lot of teams on there didn't go bowling last year.
Yeah.
So it's a... You know, Arizona's tough. Oklahoma State's going to probably be a loss. I think Arizona State's going to be better. But overall, you know, with not just Utah, but this conference, unlike all the other main conferences, where's your true lightweight? Is Colorado your worst team in the conference? Probably. I mean, TCU's a lot better. Baylor's a lot better. Cincinnati got better through the transfer portal this offseason. Houston upgraded at coach, and they're a little bit better. So it's certainly not talent-wise. The Big Ten or the SEC. But from top to bottom, there's not a game on anybody's schedule that you're going to say, you know what, I'm totally stunned that Utah, the best team in the league, lost to Colorado. You're not going to be floored by that. You're not going to be crazy if they lose the rivalry game to BYU. And that's going to kind of go for every team, which in some ways is going to make for a fun league. The problem is you got to get to 10-2 basically to get in the expanded college football playoff. And you got a lot of 9-3 schedules this year.
All right, but you would bet them plus 320 Utah to win the conference.
Yeah, they're definitely Utah, Oklahoma State, Kansas State certainly good. Arizona didn't really lose anybody. It's kind of been the underappreciated aspect of this is with the coaching change. Brent Brennan's great. A good old donor came in and did the now it's prop. That is how this works. Big old donor said, you know what, we're keeping everyone around. So if you notice some programs and coaching changes, like Indiana getting all the James Madison players and stuff like that, you didn't see a lot of Arizona players go with Jed Fish to Washington because they were able to pay to keep them around.
For all the Kansas State folks listening out there, though, who have got to be thrilled not only that Oklahoma is gone, but especially that Texas is gone because Texas just had ownage over them. You don't find that that's a good bet at plus 380? Oh.
Definitely. They're definitely in that mix. So again, they're right there at the top. I think Utah's at the top, excuse me, Oklahoma State, again, then Arizona, but definitely Kansas State. I mean, they've got a dynamic backfield. They've got some young players in there who can move, and it's again, Kansas State. So they can really move. Excuse me.
Oh man, my God. Pete.
Take
medic,
a sip, Pete.
Medic.
We could Gil and I could fan for minutes on Kansas State, that's for sure.
Well,
Is Will Howard still there?
poor Pedro. You okay, man? You all right? Here's the deal. Here's the deal, though. I need you to make one value play to win the championship of the Big 12. What's the best price to win the conference?
I would probably say Kansas State, among the ones, the okay. teams that are really right there in there. But here's the thing. Again, you're not totally insane to try to like any team in this conference to get there. Because, again, it's a really even league. I mean, Baylor's going to be back and loaded this year. I mean, we've kind of forgotten about some of these teams. Like, TCU is only 2 years removed from playing for the national championship. They've got their groove back. They're not going to be as good as they were 2 years ago, but they're really good again. So if you want to talk like crazy value play, if you're a big fan of one of these Big 12 teams who is outside of the teams we talked about, you're not absolutely insane. I mean, you know, again, I don't think Colorado's going to do anything, but West Virginia's really good. Kansas, they don't have a true home game because they're playing all their home games in Kansas City this year, but they're really good. Texas Tech's kind of a sleeper team. So you're talking about the best value play of what you're showing up there. I would say TCU at 18-1 because – I mean, again, I don't think they're going to win, but value-wise, yeah, they're pretty good.
I'm trying to steer Pete here. Not Iowa State at plus 950. You don't like Iowa State?
They've never really done it before, but they're good. But, again, they're a good piece of a whole pack. In terms of winning the conference, though, I think they're missing just a little bit. But they're definitely good. They're going to definitely go to a bowl, and they're going to be one of those teams that's going to be a tough out each and every week.
Since you bring up Colorado, obviously this was the team that captured the nation's attention for the first 3 weeks anyway of last season. Dion, not Coach Sanders, not doing himself any favors with his press conferences.
No.
It's just turning. And for the, you know, I guess the question being the season win total is 5.5. Let's start there. Do you see that going over or under? And then just off the field, public sentiment wise, just how do you see this going for Deion this year?
Yeah, not great. I mean, badly, because first of all, Deion Sanders is probably one of my favorite athletes next to Michael Jordan of all time. He's a huge prime fan. But under, I mean, I hope he proves me wrong, but look at their schedule. Yeah. I mean, and here's the thing about this. If this was a normal team, if you just had Coach Jones or any name, you know, just random coach, and it wasn't Coach Prime, Colorado was awful in 2022, and they went from one win, I think it was, to now 4 wins. A lot of it said they were in a lot of games. A couple could have gone here or there. They could have been bowling. He did make a big improvement in year one. That would have been the narrative for any other program. You'd say, hey, look, that was a stepping stone year. You had to rebuild a lot, and all of a sudden, hey, they made an improvement. Now let's see if they can go from 4 wins to 6 and just kind of make that progression up. But because it was sort of like, oh, we come and we're here, and like everyone's expecting national championships and stuff. The problem is, and again, huge fan of Coach Prime, this is all frosting and no cake. You can't just transfer portal your way to win. You've got to get the lines. You've got to build them up. You've got to get a lot of good recruiting classes, and they just haven't done that yet. So if they could just kind of, you know, take their time and relax and realize this is a process and you can't just fix it all right away, but that's not really how Deion Sanders seems to work.
That offensive line can't be any worse, that's for sure. What's your favorite season win total from the conference? Favorite season win total?
Let's go with Baylor over the 5.5. They're a whole lot better this year. And that goes for just about, again, it goes for just about everybody but Colorado in this thing. The overs are going to be key. If you're getting under 6 on any of these Big 12 teams and you're a fan of them, the over is not a horrible play because just about everyone's good enough to get to at least 6 wins. But again, Colorado is kind of my team with the under, because if you look at that schedule, find me the sure thing win, including North Dakota State, to open the season.
All right. And last thing, 5 seconds. If someone wins the Heisman from this conference, is it Cam Rising?
I guess it would have to be. It's going to be tough. I mean, Ollie Gordon, the running back from Oklahoma State, but running backs don't win it anymore. So it's going to have to be a statistical superstar or Shedeur Sanders. If Colorado does show up, it's only going to be because Shedeur Sanders is going to throw for 5,000 yards.
There is Shedeur looming. Pete, drink some water. Appreciate it, man.
Exactly. I'll be better next time. Later, guys.
Pete Vutek. Don't forget, our college football betting guide is out. Check it out. Early bird special, access through the Super Bowl for $175. Check it out at vsin.com. We're coming back with Jason Weingarten next.
A numbers game on VSIN. VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Bar Canada at the Dean, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, where sports betting lives. I also mentioned to Kelly that there's a golfer behind him on his screen.
I'm beyond fascinated.
Her first name is, and I'm not making this up, Asterisk.
Finished runner-up, I believe, in the junior championships. Good for her.
Asterisk.
That might be the worst first name I've ever heard.
I don't want to read a bunch of tweets, but I just want to read this one after Jason's appearance. Bill Jacoby said, thanks to Jason for his VSiN MLB preseason write-ups. Thanks to that, he has Jackson Merrill at 66-1 and Colton Cowser at 33-1 to win the American League Rookie of the Year. Colton Cowser's like minus 250 or something. So Jason just getting it done.
280.
Minus 280,
yeah.
Pardon me. Okay.
Wow. There we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is here to talk about Premier League season-long bets. But first, he has a very sophisticated rebuttal to Jason's segment. It's the great Paul Carr, at Paul Carr on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line from True Media Networks and, of course, the Expected Value Podcast. What's happening, Paul? Oh, did we lose Paul? We lost Paul.
But it's a very stoic, frozen
It was a very,
expression.
I thought he was, oh, no,
Scheme's
he's
down to minus 250.
Minus 250 as we're speaking.
Yes, as we're speaking.
Did we do that?
This has dropped. I think I saw him at minus 900 this morning. Am I making that up? Was that last night?
It might have been last night. Still. Paul, your sophisticated rebuttal.
Gil, you know I'm a numbers guy, so yeah. I love the stats to back everything up. My very sophisticated rebuttal is that I have a Paul Skeens ticket at plus 1,700.
There it is. That's all you need. That's his rebuttal. I have a Paul Skeens ticket. Okay, before we get your picks, you are doing, I do not do a good job of promoting this about you, but you also do soccer for the Ringer, among the many things you do. Explain what you're doing for them this year when it comes to the Premier League.
Yes, we've done Ringer Soccer Show and their gambling feed for major tournaments and Champions League, and so part of a year, and we're going once a week, mostly Premier League, but whatever kind of the big soccer story, US, Champions League, things like that, so it should be in your feeds every Monday.
Wow.
Night, maybe Tuesday morning, so we get going. And we just did the long-form preview last night.
Multimedia empire this man is building.
Multimedia. I like it.
Oh, okay.
Paul, who are you doing that with? Is that with Raheem?
Steve Cerruti and Anthony DeBundo.
I whiffed. Okay. Whiffed on both. Felt Raheem Palmer might be involved.
Nope. We were hoping Raheem was involved in it. Yeah.
Sorry, Raheem.
Yeah.
Welcome to come on the show, though.
All right, let's start at the top. Who's winning this thing? Where's the bet?
So this is basically a two-horse race. It's Man City and Arsenal. It's really not like it was at the beginning of last year, but it's how it was at the end of last year when City won the title by 2 points over Arsenal. And these two teams are pretty even. I mean, as the prices you'll see are, you know, it varies a little bit book to book, but it's roughly, you know, plus 140 for City, plus 160, plus 180, somewhere in that range for Arsenal. I like Arsenal given the price. Plus 175 is where I got it. Their defense is better and deeper than last year when they were the best team in the league. They made a couple good signings there. Now, the question is, and I think we talked about this last year, like, does Arsenal have another gear? I'm not sure they do, but I'm also not sure they need it. Like, they and City were both at such a high level last year that, you know, just one little injury, one game or two here and there is obviously the difference. So if they can hold steady or even, you know, stay, they got 89 points last year. If they get 85, I think that's probably enough to win the title this year. City's margin of error just isn't great. An injury or two, you know, to one of their two or three key guys is a big deal. So I just like, you know, getting a slightly better price on what I think is, you know, closer to a coin flip between the two. I have Arsenal at plus 175.
All right. You know what I'm going to say? If Kim, the valet guy at my building, lifelong Arsenal fan, just heard you say that, he would be screaming bloody murder at you for this.
Absolutely. Yeah. He does not want any part of being a favorite. And Arsenal hasn't won a league title since 2004, so they've got their work to do, but it's there for him this year.
He wouldn't even consider it a jinx. He'd be like, there's no chance in the world that it will ever happen to him, because good things don't happen to him.
He is a true Arsenal fan.
Yes, he is. All right, so Man City and Arsenal, let's say Arsenal and Man City in the order that you just gave them, if they're going to fill two of the top four spots eligible for the Champions League, the other two must be filled, and there are bets you can make to finish in the top four, correct? And you like something.
Right. Yeah, there's about five teams that are, you know, realistic contenders for those other two spots. Because, yeah, City and Arsenal are pretty much locks for the two. And, you know, I mean, all five of these teams have questions. This is why they're not title contenders. But I like Newcastle at plus 230 to get into the top four. They have, you know, they're a pretty stable team. They had some injuries last year, so they finished further down the table. But they have another year under Eddie Howe, who's one of the best managers in the league. They might be signing center back Mark Gahey from Crystal Palace, who's one of the best center backs in the league. That would be a big deal. If they don't get him, they'll probably sign someone else to reinforce the defense. So they also don't have Champions League this year, which means you're missing those extra 6 to 8 group games during the this first half of the season. So that's a big deal for Newcastle. There's no European games to worry about. And just, again, questions about Manchester United doesn't have a midfield, and Chelsea has a new manager, and Liverpool has a new manager, and Villa has a lot of turnover, and Tottenham is not bad. I kind of like them for top four, a longer shot as well. But Newcastle, plus 230, I think the stability and upside that they have there is what gets them into the top four, and it's a good price on them.
All right, we did a champion. We did to get into the top four. There's obviously 20 sides in the Premier League. What about to get into the top half, to finish top half of the table?
I'm going to go back to a team I played a lot last year and didn't work out all that much, just on a game-to-game basis. But I like Brentford to get into the top 10 at plus 400. So I mentioned there's about 7 teams for the top 4 spots, which means there's basically 3 top 10 spots left. And you can write off some of those teams that are relegation, likely to be relegation contenders and such. So Brentford at plus 400. Here's the case. They only had 39 points last year, but they underachieved their expected goal difference by 12, meaning, you know, given the shots they gave up and took, they probably should have had a goal difference that was about 12 better, which is a pretty huge number. Just like other sports, you talk about one-run games in baseball, one-score yep. games in the NFL. One-goal games in soccer are a thing. Brentford was 3-11 in games decided by exactly one goal last year. That was the worst of any team that stayed up. So they're due for some sort of positive regression in that sense. And they just have continuity. You know, they didn't fire their manager because they had a bad year. So Thomas Frank is back for a 6th season. Brian Mbeumo is an attacker for them who was hurt for most of the second half of the year after 7 goals in the first half. They probably still have Ivan Toney, who's the big scorer up top. They have brought in a backup who got hurt, but they're in decent shape on the attacking side. So all that, I just think Brentford at plus 400, one of the best run teams in the Premier League, got a pretty good shot at sneaking in one of those other 3 spots.
All right, let's go to the bottom. 3 teams are relegated every year. 3 teams come up. You have a bet for relegation.
Yeah, so last season, all 3 newly promoted teams went right back down. It's always tempting to just do that again because, you know, look, you were in a lower division, meaning you had lower wage bills, players weren't as good, et cetera, et cetera. And I wouldn't argue if you wanted to do that, but I'm picking one of those teams specifically, Southampton, plus 110. So you can get plus money on a newly promoted team to go down, which is just in general pretty good since about half of them tend to go right back down. But the case is also this. Their defense was okay last season. It wasn't great. And defense historically has proven to be more indicative of Premier League success for these newly promoted teams than offense. So if your defense isn't good, that's a bad sign for Southampton. They also played a style that relied on a lot of possession last season, which they will not have in the Premier League because they're not one of the better teams. So a couple of big strikes against them. So get plus money on that.
Oh, and we lose Paul right before the beautiful ending here. So let's review the 4 that he has while we try to hook back up with Paul. Arsenal to win the title, plus 175. He likes that price. Obviously a two-headed monster at the top between Arsenal and Man City. He's got Newcastle to finish in the top 4 at plus 230. He's got Brentford to finish top half at 4-1 odds. Southampton, who just got up into the Premier League, now to be relegated right after that. He's got them to be relegated at plus 110. By the way, real quick, Paul, Preston Johnson's Crawley Town, which just won their opening game, they're still 2 leagues below Premier League, correct?
Right, they're in League One.
League One.
They got promoted up from League Two.
What's in between down. Between League One and
Championship?
Championship, okay. You said Championship?
Yep.
Okay, so they're not a candidate, but maybe in 2 years. All right, finally, Golden Boot. What do you got?
So obviously Erling Haaland is the huge favorite. You know, he's minus money to win the Golden Boot, which is crazy. But he won it last year and didn't have a great season. So obviously understand that price. So that's not very interesting. So the longer shot I like is Alexander Isak from Newcastle. He's at plus 1600. He's the 3rd or 4th favorite, depending on where you're looking. 3rd in the Premier League last season with 21 goals. And that was in line with his expected numbers. So he wasn't running super hot. And the 2 things I always say, you got to be on a good team, a top 4 type of team. And you got to take penalties. And he made 5 penalties last season for Newcastle. So the top scorer for one of the top 4 teams, I think, in the league, has proven he can get 20 plus goals, which is generally where you need to be. I mean, you're kind of essentially betting on Haaland or Man City having an injury crisis, but at plus 1600, I think that's worth it.
Alexander Isak, Kelly, to win the golden boot, 16-1.
Love that guy.
You've spoken about him 1,000 times.
I got his jersey sweater kit at home. Whichever one works.
Sweater. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it, man.
You bet.
Paul Carr, check him out on The Ringer. Doing big things. Not with Raheem, though.
Not with Raheem.
We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.